Now, if there were an award for Father of the Century, well, I think that I would probably have to nominate Patrick John Hughes. Now, most people probably don't know the name. He's a quiet and unassuming man. But he was always hard to miss when he would march out on the Louisville football field with the marching band. While everyone else was college age, well, he was middle age. And when everyone else played an instrument, he pushed a wheelchair. The boy in the wheelchair is his son, Patrick Henry Hughes. He was born blind and also crippled in his legs, which was initially just devastating to his father, who had all the dreams of playing catch with his son, catching pop flies out in the backyard. When his son was just an infant, he realized that he could calm his small boy by placing him on top of the piano as he played. There just seemed to be something that soothed the boy's soul when it came to music. By 9 months old, the boy was tapping the keys. At the age of 2, he was playing whole songs. In elementary, he was playing concerts. In high school, he was all-state band and chorus. By the time he arrived at the University of Louisville, he was already well known for his music and trumpeting skills. And the band director there then invited him to be part of the marching band, which obviously came with some challenges. The wheelchair had to be outfitted with wider wheels, and his dad was recruited to be the wheelchair pusher. And the older Patrick, he pushed with gusto, with his chest protruding with pride for his boy. Every day, this father would push his son to class and sit next to him during lectures. He would whisper anything that the teacher had written up on the chalkboard. And while the rest of the family went to bed at night, he went to work, working the graveyard shift. And he would then come home at 5 a.m. He would grab a few hours of sleep, and he would then get up and do it all over again. When his son was first born, well, he initially felt so cheated. Now, he says, he feels so fortunate. His son is known, or he was quoted as saying, that he has never dumped me yet, and he never will. His father even occasionally popping a wheelie from time to time. Now, you may not know the names of this father and son, but their story should sound familiar because really, well, it's all of our story. We all, in different ways, have been handicapped in life, struggling with our limitations, in need of a push and a little guidance from a heavenly father. Maybe even the thrill of popping a wheelie every now and then. Couldn't we all use someone to come alongside us to help? You know, Jesus says that he knows just the person. He goes by a rather strange name. Jesus introduces us to him as Paraclete. Jesus says this in John 14:26, if you got your Bibles open. He says, when the Father sends the Paraclete as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Now, this word, Paraclete, is a Greek word that is really like so rich in meaning that it's hard to translate with just one English word, which is why your Bibles will vary so much in the translation of this one word. Depending on the Bible that you are reading from, it might be translated as helper, comforter, counselor, or in mine, advocate. The word's literal meaning is one who comes alongside to help. If you were living in first century times and you just happened to be fishing out on the Mediterranean and you found yourself turned around and lost at sea, your only hope would be a paraclete, which was the common term used for a rescue boat. And it would come alongside you and tie itself up to your boat and then tow you back home to safety. And that is what the Holy Spirit will often do for us, finding us and then coming alongside when we are in need. Maybe when we feel lost, when we feel alone, and we are pulled back home to the heart of a father. When we feel weak, well, the Spirit is our helper, joining us in what we cannot do on our own. When we suffer, the Spirit is our comforter, drawing near, never leaving us in our pain. When we are uncertain, well, the Spirit acts as our counselor, guiding us into truth, prodding us with questions to assist us in our understanding. When we feel condemned, the Spirit is our advocate, defending us against the harassing lies of the enemy. If we feel tired from the problems that we can't solve, the questions that we can't answer, and we have grown weary of carrying heavy loads, the Holy Spirit is here to help. He is a life-giving friend, given to us the moment that we accept Christ as our Savior, and always available to be called upon. So essential is the Holy Spirit to our spiritual lives that Jesus actually claimed that the Spirit inside us is even better than having him beside us. Jesus told his disciples this in John 16:7. He says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Paraclete or the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." Now that may be a little hard to believe, isn't it? And I'm not so sure that the disciples were buying it. I mean, after all, for 3 years, Jesus had physically been with them through all of their triumphs and trials. When they faced a storm, Jesus had calmed it. When they entertained a crowd of thousands with no food trucks around, Jesus had fed them. When they had questions, Jesus was there to answer them, even though they were sometimes confused by his answer. how in the world would they ever manage without him? Jesus' answer is the Holy Spirit. Now, what he says here is part of a much larger discussion that he is having with them from John chapters 14 through 17. When he was just hours away from being arrested and would later be crucified. And so he is now giving them these final instructions, this clarification on how to move forward in his absence. He would no longer be able to go with them, but he wasn't leaving them empty-handed. You know, it used to be that whenever an epic tale of a quest or a journey was written in the past, it was always common for the person who would eventually develop into the hero of the story to be sent off with some sort of special gift to help them in their quest. And very often, the gift even had some special powers attached to it that might help them face the foes that they might encounter along the way. And this is essentially what Jesus has done. He has sent his disciples, which includes us, out into the world with a commission. And he has given us a gift to help us along the way in our quest. Now, of course, as many of you may know, we've actually been given many spiritual gifts, which we'll talk about later in the series. But the greatest gift we've been given by far is the Holy Spirit. With the Spirit, we've been given access to a special power, which we'll also address in the upcoming sermons. But the greatest advantage is not just its power, but it is its presence, because it is a person. You know, Jesus was always very careful and intentional about referring to the Spirit as a he or as him, describing the Spirit with a name, with emotions, with an intellect and a will. I think so that we will always remember that the Holy Spirit is a person to be known, not a force to be utilized. In fact, we're even given a warning of this in the story of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. When he seemed to become a genuine disciple of Jesus, after Philip had preached the gospel in Samaria and also performed many miraculous signs. Now, by the nickname sorcerer, I think we can assume that Simon was certainly no stranger to the supernatural. He had obviously dabbled in some variety of dark magic that would allow him to do some type of supernatural things, albeit much darker and of a lesser power than he had seen in Philip, who by the Spirit had a direct access to the one true God. Now, when a couple of apostles arrived a little later, they also performed some miraculous signs, and Simon began to notice a pattern. The Spirit always seemed to be activated when they laid their hands on them. And thinking the Spirit then as like a power source to acquire and control rather than a relationship to be nurtured. Simon offered the apostles to pay for such a power, which he was quickly rebuked for misunderstanding and distorting the gift given in the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's important to see also that although the Spirit is a person, well, it's not just any person. He is another of the same person. Check this out. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you." Now, Jesus came as our first advocate. But when he goes away, well, there will be another that will come. Another what? Well, another like Jesus. Just a couple verses later, as Jesus is trying to tell his disciples throughout this whole discourse, "Hey, I am going to go away, but another will come." He then says in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now talk about sending some mixed signals. But this made perfect sense to Jesus because he and the Spirit are one. This is what we call in Christianity the Trinity, which is a word that we use to describe all of the forms of God that he takes. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God, three distinct forms, and each form that God takes certainly works in some different manners, but each all have the attributes of his deity, all work perfectly together in accomplishing his will. And so this is again why several verses later, Jesus then says this in verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Though Jesus may no longer physically walk the earth, the Holy Spirit is the way that he continues to be present with us, while not in a visible bodily form. This is why Jesus told his disciples that it would be better for me to go, so that the Spirit can come. In Jesus, God's divinity was limited to a physical location, to a human body, but now, well, now the Spirit can go with everybody and at all times, so that nobody ever has to go without Jesus. And to verify that the Spirit is, in fact, Jesus with us and of the same mind as the Father, Jesus also tells us, if you're taking notes, that the Holy Spirit really has no original content. Just a little later in the conversation, in John 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says of the Spirit, "He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Yes, he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." The Holy Spirit doesn't just speak on his own, nor does he ever say, "Hey, look at me," or even, "Come to me." He always says, "Look at him," always pointing us to the glory of Jesus. The theologian and the writer, J.I. Packer, he describes the Spirit's role in this way. He says, it is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing a light over our shoulder onto Jesus, who stands there facing us. You see, the heartbeat of the Spirit is to invite us into closer proximity to Jesus so that we may be in awe of his manger, enamored by his love for the sinner, empowered by the cross, emboldened by the empty tomb. And it is for this reason that the Spirit's overarching mission is to guide us into all truth of the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus. In John 16, 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he does this in a few different ways. The first you can write down is by teaching. Again, Jesus says in John 14, 26, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Paul also echoes this idea, even takes the thought a bit further, expanding on it. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:10, God has shown us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God. Who knows the thoughts that another person has? Only a person's spirit that lives within him knows his thoughts. And it is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we know that God has definitively spoken through his word, the Bible. However, that doesn't mean that his wisdom is simply confined to an ancient document. He still continues to speak through his Spirit, which confirms, reminds, and helps us apply what we read in Scripture. And so when we open our Bibles, well, we may just see words on a page, but it is the Spirit coming alongside us, sharing with us the mind and the heart of God that will make those words living and active in us, penetrating deep within our souls, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. Because the Holy Spirit is what makes God's words able to come alive in us. When I was a teenager in the 90s, my friends and I, we would do what all, you know, like cool middle schoolers and young high schoolers would do. We would hang out at the Rogue Valley Mall. All right? Now listen, if you're a young person here today, I know that this makes no sense to you because of course, well, who goes to the mall nowadays? But back in my day, all right, it was where you'd grab a piece of pizza in the food court, where you'd play hide and seek in the clothes racks of JCPenney, where you'd try to meet up with a group of cute girls as they're ascending the escalator just as your group of boys are coming back down, and oh, what a special moment to meet in the middle. Now my friends and I, well, we never had anything to shop for, but we would always ask our parents if they would drop us off at the mall for hours. all right? Just because it was cool to walk around and be seen. And whenever cruising the mall, well, there was always a popular stop to make. It was the kiosk that sold, they were called 3D magic eye illusions. And we would just sort of like get sucked in as young people, like a UV to a bug. You might remember this fad back from the 90s, if one of these pictures looks a little familiar. These were the pictures of just like, you know, a meaningless mess of lines and shapes. But of course, as you may know, if you stare at it long enough, just before you go cross-eyed, your eyes will adjust and a 3D image will emerge from the pattern. Now, this could be fun and exciting for some, and for others, it was just an exercise of frustration. Just standing there, zombie-like, giving yourself a migraine as you look at the nonsense of this picture. But you know, you would do so because everyone was anticipating that moment, you know, where you got to announce proudly to everyone else, oh, I see it. Do you see it? I see it. And of course, it had been there all along. But it took looking with some fresh vision, an adjustment to the eyes to reveal it to you. And once you had seen it, well, then it was difficult to look at the picture and not see it. And the Holy Spirit will do something similar in us, where it will give us spiritual eyes to see new insights into God's word, expanding our knowledge and understanding of him. Many of you probably even have this experience being a longtime Christian and maybe reading some of the same stories and passages over and over, and yet you will still experience from time to time reading those scriptures and something new will just like jump off the page at you and into your heart. And that is the Holy Spirit at work in you. He teaches. The Spirit also guides by reminding. You know, sometimes we will find that we don't actually need new information. We just need to be reminded of what God has already done, or what he has placed in our minds, in our hearts before. It's the verse that you learned years ago that the Spirit suddenly brings to mind, and it's exactly what you needed to hear. It's the promise that you once clung to that somehow life just sort of crowded out, and the Spirit puts you in a situation where you find yourself relying once again on that same promise. It's the conviction you felt clearly at one point, but maybe has grown quieter over time. And the Spirit begins to make you uneasy about the direction you're headed. Like a small pebble in the bottom of your shoe that doesn't prevent you from going on, but you know, you're just made more and more uncomfortable as you do. Sometimes, to rekindle the fire that God has put inside us, we just need to be reminded in a tangible, visceral sort of way, which the Spirit will provide. Such a reminder was given to Peter in Acts chapter 10. When he received an invitation to join a Gentile soldier named Cornelius for lunch at his home. Now, the invite came as a complete surprise, because not only did the two men not know each other, but Peter was a devout Jew, and Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles, especially those who served in the Roman army. Although Scripture does tell us of Cornelius that he was a devout, God-fearing man, well, he was of the wrong pedigree. He didn't quote Torah. He wasn't a descendant of Abraham. He wore a toga around his body. He had a ham in the freezer. Peter could take one look at him and tell, he's an outsider. But the Spirit made him take another look. And through a vision and an angel, well, Peter was reminded that everybody is welcome to belong in the family of God as a result of their faith. And you know, this wasn't new information for Peter. While he had spent 3 years with Jesus, he had watched Jesus welcome and love non-Jews alike. But the Spirit had to remind him of it. And so too, when we desire to be guided by the Holy Spirit, we sometimes receive very subtle, sometimes not so subtle, reminders, especially when things begin to feel uncertain. When we feel alone, he reminds us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When we feel ashamed, he reminds us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we feel lost, he reminds us, I am the way. When we are confused, he reminds us, I am the truth. When we feel like we're running on empty, he reminds us, I am the life. And these truths that we discover, the reminders that we receive, work in tandem also in making God's truth relevant. The Holy Spirit allows us to experience the presence of God in such a way that the teachings of Jesus get pushed from our head, where we can understand, down to our hearts, where they can be felt and made real to us. By the Spirit, we can go from just simply knowing about Jesus to really knowing him in a relationship. I mean, after all, let's remember that the Holy Spirit wasn't just given to us as some sort of consolation now that Jesus has physically left this earth. In fact, just the opposite. The Holy Spirit is actually an intensification of his presence, a deepening of his love to us, even beyond what his closest followers were able to experience in knowing him face to face. The Spirit within us, it spurs us on to know Jesus more. At an even deeper level. And it is energized over the anticipation of the wondrous ways in which he will want to work in our lives. When my kids were really young, one night we went over to dinner to my parents' house. And in anticipation of us coming, My parents had bought my son like this little kind of helicopter toy to play with that they were, you know, real eager to demonstrate. Now, it was just a very simple, cheap little toy that you've probably seen. It had like the little plastic whirly bird spinner thing that you would put on top. And it had a little trigger that you would pull, which would then shoot the spinner up into the air, and it would come, you know, whirling or helicoptering back down. Just a little fun fact. Because the toy had like a trigger on it, and because it would shoot up into the air, my very young son at the time, he called this a gun, which then led both of my kids to call my parents Grandma and Grandpa Gun, which they still call them to this day, which my mom is still protesting. But you know, of course, when your grandkids start calling you by something, it just sticks. The other grandparents became known as Grandma and Grandpa Tractor, but that's a whole different story. So when my parents gave my son this whirly bird sort of a toy, my son had never seen a toy like it, so he wasn't familiar with the idea. And my dad got down on the floor with him, eye level, teaching him how to put the spinner on, how to wind it up. And then when the trigger was pulled, it suddenly launched upwards. And my son just exploded with laughter. He had never expected that. And when he laughed, well, we laughed twice as hard. We were excited to see him so excited. And the Holy Spirit does the same with us, to make us burst with excitement over what he is doing in us and with us, or maybe even through us, to bring us a joy when we invite him into our worlds, when we make it our aim to keep in step with the Spirit by inviting him into the details of each moment or each day. Galatians 5:25 tells us, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The worship team can come forward. And that requires that we are willing to be led, that we are hungry to learn. Like my son so many years ago, modeling that attitude we need, a childlike spirit. And we know that with humility, we can always ask the Spirit for wisdom, for a direction to take or to make Jesus real and relevant in our life. And this is how the Spirit works in tandem with God's Word as they partner together to create new spiritual life in us, just as we see from the very beginning. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth on the first page of the Bible, we're told that God created by speaking his Word. But then it was also the Spirit hovering over the surface of the waters that partnered with his Word to bring about a beauty and an order out of chaos. And God is still making new from the disorder, dysfunction, and chaos of our own lives, teaching us his ways and his character as we stay in fellowship or in communion with him and his Spirit day by day, moment by moment. Allow the Spirit to come alongside you. Let him whisper in your ear the wonders of his glory. And be assured of this, that whenever you smile at the wonders of God, you know, the Spirit smiles along with you. Because after all, he is the one who taught you. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you come alongside us. That you never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you that through your Spirit you are always available to be called upon. And so, Lord, we do that now. God, I pray that for those who don't know you and need you to fill that void in their life, that God, they would invite you today, this morning, to come alongside, to begin that new life and creation in them. Lord, for those of us who need an extra touch of wisdom, of comfort, we invite you now, Lord, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. In your name, amen.